My name is Michaela Jordan Murray from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we're going to hear brand new music just out today from Chris Forsythe, who is coming to town soon, and Aaron Dillaway, who was just here. We'll also hear another interview question from two candidates running for Congress in the New York 19th Congressional District. That's Josh Riley and Jamie Chaney. And we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network on air, in air waves controlled. On air, in air channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network. Network. This is the news.
On Saturday, August 6th, PS21 is putting on a show in Chatham's Crellin Park for Crellin Park Day. It's an interactive program called 846, a retelling of Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring. It's put on by the Jamal Jackson Dance Company. And it's at 3 p.m. on Saturday, August 6th in Crellin Park in Chatham. Find out more in the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. And you can also list your own events there to be read on the radio at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Oak Pizzeria Napolitana in Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Bill Williams reports for Columbia Green Media that residents of Stockport are being advised to boil their water until further notice following a large water main break on August 3rd. According to Stockport officials, Department of Public Works and Water Department crews located the break in the area of Route 9 and County Route 22. The impacted areas were north of the Whitewater tank on Route 9, where homes had low pressure or no water at all. The crews working on the break encountered difficulties in making repairs, which required shutting down the entire system. When water service returned, it was then necessary for customers to boil their water before drinking it, using it for cooking. The break was repaired by late August 3rd, and all homes should have their water service restored. A boil water order was immediately put into place until further notice. The Centers for Disease Control issued guidelines for making water safe. If the water is cloudy, first filter it through a clean cloth, paper towel, or coffee filter, or allow it to settle. Then draw off the clear water and bring that water to a rolling boil for 1 minute. Let the boiled water cool and then store it in a clean, sanitized container with tight cover. The boil water order will remain in place until test results return from the state laboratory, town officials said. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
City and State previews New York's congressional elections, with voting beginning August 13th through August 23rd. Locally, Democrats have four primary elections, while only one Republican is running for those seats. In the new 21st Congressional District, which now includes Rensselaer County, Democrats Matthew Pettori and Matt Caselli face off to take on incumbent Republican Elise Stefanik. In the 20th District, longtime incumbent Paul Tonko is against fellow Democrat Rostislav Ra, with the winner facing Republican Liz Joy in November. In the new 19th Congressional District, which now stretches past Binghamton, Democrats Josh Riley and Jamie Cheney are competing to take on Republican Mark Molinaro. And in the 18th Congressional District, Democrats Pat Ryan, Moses Mongalusi, and Aisha Mills compete to take on Republican Colin Schmidt in November. There is also a special election August 13th to 23rd to fill the rest of this term after Antonio Delgado resigned to become New York's lieutenant governor. Democrat Pat Ryan, the current Ulster County executive, squares off with Mark Molinaro, the current Dutchess County executive, to fill the final weeks of Delgado's term in Congress. Read more about this story in City and State.
Liz Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that the GlaxoSmithKline Consumer Healthcare Division is now officially an independent company following the completion of a demerger in July from the multinational pharmaceutical giant. The new company, known as Haleon, produces a variety of products including Sensodyne, Voltaren, Panadol, and Centrum, among others. All GlaxoSmithKline facilities that produce consumer healthcare brands are now under the Haleon logo. This includes the plant on State Route 145 in Oak Hill in Greene County that manufactures oral care products. GlaxoSmithKline has not provided details on how the $36 billion demerger will impact plants like Oak Hill, but company sources say business is expected to continue as usual. The Oak Hill facility employs approximately 300 people. Headquartered in England, GlaxoSmithKline officially introduced Haleon to investors in late February. The company is keeping a 20% ownership stake in the spinoff, with its shareholders receiving the remaining 80%. GlaxoSmithKline will maintain the vaccine and pharmaceutical divisions. The Oak Hill properties are still owned by GlaxoSmithKline. Its consumer healthcare holdings division is currently challenging the town of Durham on the assessed value of the 71-acre parcel that includes the 85,000-square-foot plant. The company took legal action on July 27th in Greene County Supreme Court, arguing the $39 million assessed value of the property should be reduced to $10.2 million. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com.
John Cropley reports in the Daily Gazette that on August 3rd, New York State announced it was doling out millions of dollars to upgrade their emergency radio systems through state grants funded by cell phone surcharges. Counties are getting their shares of $90 million from the statewide interoperable communications grant program for large-scale projects and $10 million from the public safety answering program. Governor Kathy Hochul said, and I quote, "This funding is critical to strengthening New York's emergency response capabilities in situations where every second counts. We are laser-focused on making smart investments in public safety across the state, and these grants will be a significant boost for local governments working around the clock to keep New Yorkers safe," end quote. Greene County gets $919,750 of SIGC funds and $152,531 from the Public Safety Answering Point Program.
while Columbia County is receiving $899,384 and $163,362. Albany County gets $2,365,306 and $220,092. Rensselaer County receives $1,451,319 and $168,104. Dutchess County gets $1,110,478 and $163,057. And Ulster County receives $1,091,873 and $119,511. Read more about this story in the Daily Gazette.
The Daily Freeman is reporting that U.S. Route 9W will be closed in both directions between Dock and Main Streets in Saugerties beginning August 8th through September 30th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The closure is necessary to accommodate a gas main installation, weather permitting. Motorists should expect delays and follow the posted detour using Washington Avenue and Division and Cedar Streets, the New York State Department of Transportation said. Drivers are advised to slow down and drive responsibly in work zones where fines are doubled for speeding. Information is available online at 511ny.org. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that New York this week ratified a 5-year contract with the Civil Service Employees Association that will provide 2% raises for the first 2 years of the agreement and a 3% raise annually for the remaining 3 years. Workers will also receive one-time bonuses of $3,000 and I quote, changes in longevity as a result of changes in the health insurance program that will encourage in-network employee utilization and help control health insurance costs, end quote, according to Governor Kathy Hochul's office. The agreement was approved by more than 80% of the union's 52,000 members in 4 executive branch bargaining units, and it lasts through March 2026. CSEA President Mary E. Sullivan said in a statement on August 4th, and I quote, the passage of this contract demonstrates that CSEA members appreciate that they are valued and their work is properly recognized by the governor and our employers, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Well, on Friday, showers and thunderstorms are likely, mainly before 2 p.m., and some of those storms could produce heavy rain. It will be partly sunny and hot with a temperature high near 90 degrees and a heat index value as high as 98 degrees. Friday night, showers and thunderstorms are likely mainly before 8 p.m., and some of those storms could produce heavy rain. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 69 degrees. And on Saturday, scattered showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and hot with a temperature high near 90 degrees. And Saturday night, isolated showers and thunderstorms before 2 a.m., it will be partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 71 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Friday, August 5th, tune in all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m. It's time for the Global Agogo Show. Tracks this week from Wa Silva, Cumbia Muffin, and the Ezra Collective, among others. Jared Wiggishud is live from WGXC's Hudson Studio after the local news at noon. And then at 2 p.m., it's time for the Data Cult Audio Show with Alik Mansour, the featured artist this week. At 4 p.m., we are live from around the country and from Accra with the Conduction Series performance. That's in the first hour at 4 p.m. And then we'll hear from Glass Salt, the current artist in residence at Wave Farm. We'll preview their show on Saturday on the WGXC Afternoon Show on Friday. 6 p.m. we're live from Catskill with Clubhouse Radio. And at 7 p.m. we hear from youth in Hudson about what they've been reading lately on the Bound by Books show. We've got local music at 8 p.m. on Hudson Valley Sounds. And Guy and Friends are live in Hudson with techno, house, experimental music, and more at 10 p.m. on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Saturday, August 6th, PS21 is putting on a show in Chatham's Crellin Park for Crellin Park Day. It's an interactive program called 846, a retelling of Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring. It's put on by the Jamal Jackson Dance Company. And it's at 3 p.m. on Saturday, August 6th in Crellin Park in Chatham. Find out more in the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. And you can also list your own events there to be read on the radio at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
WGXC needs you. Can you be entertaining and engaging while being informative? Are you interested in all things local? News, politics, and culture? Well, WGXC 90.7 FM is looking for people to host its morning shows, the hands-on community radio magazine show. Our hosts love having an audience, are capable of multitasking, and are slow to panic. No radio experience is necessary. We're looking for diamonds in the rough. Before taking to the airwaves, you will be thoroughly trained and then set free to create compelling radio for listeners throughout Greene and Columbia counties. For more information, contact Lynn at WGXC.org or simply send an email inquiry to apply at WGXC.org. WGXC need you.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and it's time for the WGXC Renewable Weather Report. And we start each Renewable Weather Report with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Gas Buddy website says currently the lowest price for a gallon of gas in Greene County is $4.43 a gallon. That's at the Stewart's Shop in Caro. Then we look at the air quality forecast, and it's a little bit worse today, up to 35. From the National Weather Service in Albany. And also looking bad is the UV index for Friday, August 5th. It's at 9, which is in the very high category. And you should wear a shirt, hat, and sunscreen if you're out in the sun between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. on Friday. Now, the National Weather Service in Albany predicts on Friday there is a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 2 p.m. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny, good for local solar panels, with a high of 85. And Friday night, again, the showers and thunderstorms are possible. 60% chance, the forecast says. Mostly cloudy with a low around 67. Saturday, there's only a 50% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 85. And a south wind spinning local windmills 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Saturday night, there's a 20% chance of rain, partly cloudy skies with a low around 70, and a southwest wind 3 to 5 miles per hour. And then Sunday, there's a 40% chance of showers or a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny. The high of 87, low around 69. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
Wait. Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Joshua Mail of Seattle, Washington. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Oh, hey, man, I haven't seen you around for a while. Where you been? Oh, you know, I just been woodshedding. Oh, yeah, where's that? Oh, out in the woodshed. Oh, cool, dude, cool. What you working on? Oh, you want to check it out? Yeah, I got it on my mini disc player. Oh, yeah, let me hear it. Yeah, that's something I've been working on out in the woodshed. Oh, yeah, I like that sound, man. Hold on, let me play you something I got on my new DAT. Yeah, it's a DAT player. I've been working on it outside in the garage. Hold on, let me get it for you. Okay, put your headphones into this magic. Oh, that sounds eerily similar, but I really like it. Yeah, hopefully we can play together sometime so we can gang up on some serious power chords. Like this one? What about this one? Yeah, I like that one. We'll see you around, man.
Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night from 10 p.m. till midnight. Tune in.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
We'll be right back.
2022 new music there from Chris Forsythe from Philadelphia. The song is called Bad Moon Risen. Turn out for the Deep in the Valley show Saturday, August 20th, put on by WGXC volunteer programmer Andy French, who does the Crawl Out from the Fallout show once a month on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on WGXC, and his Raven Sings the Blues organization, with performances from Chris Forsythe, Ryan Jewell, Bill Nace, Wet Tuna, and others Saturday, August 20th from 11:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the From the Ground Brewery in Red Hook. That's the Deep in the Valley show, Saturday, August 20th. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The proposal produces no meaningful reduction in the deficit or with inflation. Any suggestion otherwise is insulting to the intelligence of the American people.
Deb Fischer of Nebraska and other Republicans are pushing back against a $739 billion climate tax and health care package. The Congressional Budget Office acknowledged the bill's immediate effect on inflation would be negligible, but would decrease the deficit by roughly $300 billion. Democrat Ed Markey of Massachusetts called it the most significant investment in climate action in history.
This bill will not correct every economic injustice in our society or rectify the economic disparities between big oil billionaires and working families, but it starts a process that we absolutely need to level the playing field.
Democrats want to use the reconciliation process by passing a filibuster. The chamber is delaying its August recess to work on the measure into the weekend. Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra officially declared the monkeypox outbreak a public health emergency 2 weeks after the World Health Organization did the same.
We're prepared to take our response to the next level in addressing this virus, and we urge every American to take monkeypox seriously.
Amid increased tensions with China over Taiwan, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby says a planned intercontinental ballistic missile test launch has been delayed.
The lines of communication are still open with Beijing, and we're using those lines of communication.
The Pentagon also directed an aircraft carrier to remain in the area near Taiwan to keep an eye on recent test missile launches by China. Meanwhile, FBI Director Christopher Wray says the nation is facing many criminal and national security threats.
Whether it's gangs terrorizing a neighborhood, well-known trigger pullers who keep finding their way back out onto the streets, robbery crews graduating from carjackings to aggravated assaults, and worse, the violent crime problem is real.
During the oversight hearing, Senator Ted Cruz slammed his boot on the table as he questioned Ray about an alleged FBI list of symbols affiliated with extremist groups.
Also included on this is a text that I was particularly struck, is the Gonzales battle flag, come and take it, as indicative of being a violent extremist militia. Well, I will self-report right now that every day in the Senate I wear my boots that have the Gonzales battle flag on the back of them. Director Ray, what are y'all doing?
Ray said he was not familiar with the document. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is making waves for suspending a state attorney general who pledged to not prosecute people under the state's new 15-week abortion ban.
When you flagrantly violate your oath of office, when you make yourself above the law, you have violated your duty. You have neglected your duty.
DeSantis also condemned Andrew Warren for his support of gender-affirming treatment for trans minors. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eTrust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While the tinfoil hat week on the American Democracy Minute was a humorous way to spotlight crackpot election fraud theories, a U.S. Senate hearing Wednesday shows the 2020 conspiracy theories have had a serious and even life-threatening impact on our nation's election workers. The Judiciary Committee hearings coincided with preliminary findings by the U.S. Justice Department's Election Threats Task Force, which cites over 1,000 cases of hostile harassing, 11% of which rose to federal crimes. A survey of election workers by the Brennan Center for Justice showed that 1 in 5 election workers had been harassed, but only 20% of those incidents had been reported, suggesting the 1,000 DOJ total could have been much, much larger. The survey also found that nearly 2 of 3 election workers believed that false information was making their job more dangerous, and 1 in 3 knew an election worker who had left the job because of threats or intimidation. The Justice Department hosted a virtual meeting with 750 election officials around the country on the subject of election threats and intimidation on Monday, but so far the DOJ has engaged in just 5 cases, and only one, a Nebraska man, has been brought to trial. New Mexico's Secretary of State suggested Wednesday that conspiracy-fueled intimidation may lead to shortages of willing, experienced election workers. Articles and groups taking action are at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Here's Catskill's Rodney Allen Greenblatt with the song Bubble from his 2021 album To Just Be. On July 25th, Democrats Josh Riley and Jamie Chaney both spoke at a candidate forum for the New York 19 new congressional district. In Delhi, they spoke, and the special election they're running against each other in is on August 23rd. Here is one question asked to Democrats Jamie Chaney and Josh Riley.
So we're moving to gun control in 2020. The most recent year for Pew Research data, 45,000 plus people died from gun-related injuries. Over 19,000 were gun murders, a 34% increase from the previous year, a 49% increase over 5 years, and a 75% increase over 10 years. Jamie, you write, we need comprehensive gun reform, including banning assault weapons, expanded background checks, red flag laws, and addressing ghost guns. Given recent gun legislation, what one or two items would you push for next? And how do you propose to bust through the resistance to enact gun reform?
To me, the absolute priority to push for next is an assault weapons ban and an increase of the minimum age to buy a weapon. These are absolute priorities. I've shared with many of you, if we've had the opportunity to meet in person, the story of driving my 8-year-old to school a few days after Texas and him saying to me in the back seat of the car, Mommy, if this shooter comes to my classroom, should I try to climb out the window or should I hide in the bathroom? Oh, I forgot to turn off my video. We are traumatizing a generation in real time because we cannot push through these laws that 80% of Americans support. The way that I would work to push them through is by bringing those people to the table. This is my community. I know this community. Many, many people will say, I own a shotgun and I use it as a tool on my farm, and I'm truly terrified the day after an assault weapons ban is passed, my shotgun will be taken away as well. I can speak with credibility to this community to say, no, that's not what we're going to do. I can speak as someone who uses a gun as a tool on the farm. I can speak as someone who knows the moderate Republicans who are ready to cross the line on rowing guns, and someone who knows the people that we need to win a district like this and be able to pass that assault weapon.
Thank you. Thank you, Jamie. Josh?
Thank you. So I served as a counsel on the Senate Judiciary Committee after the massacre at Sandy Hook, and I have to tell you, it was one of the hardest and most difficult things I've worked on. Number one, seeing so many grieving parents coming to Washington asking for something, anything, to be done to keep kids safe. And then seeing a complete failure and breakdown of our democracy when the NRA rolled in with tons of money and tons of lobbyists and shut everything down. We had a package of reforms at the time, that some of which is now in pieces, has been enacted in the recent bipartisan compromise, but so much of it is still out there. They had over 90% of support from the American people, and yet still failed. In what functioning democracy do we have something as simple as improving the background check system fail with 90% support? It's a democratic system where special interests like the NRA can roll into Washington and flood the place with money and drown out your voices. So in addition to a number of the policies we've talked about here, one that's a top priority for me is one that I worked on after Sandy Hook, which was improving the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. That's the system within the FBI that's actually responsible for processing background checks. Today, it's faulty for two reasons. Number one, we're not checking all of the things we need to be checking. And number two, for the things we are checking, we don't have all the records in the system. So both of those things need to be done, and they need to be done right away to do something meaningful about gun violence in this country.
Thank you. So we're moving on to climate change. You both cite that climate change poses an existential threat to our planet. How should Congress balance taking action to mitigate climate change with demands of economic growth when they conflict? How would you fight for climate change given the resistance from our own party? Please provide some examples. Josh?
I love this question because I just totally disagree with the premise of the question. It's a false choice to say we have to choose between saving the planet and economic growth and jobs. Not only is it a false choice, they're the same thing. One of the things I am most excited about with this campaign and being in Congress is the amazing opportunities in this district to create the jobs of the future fighting climate change. We are at an inflection point in this district where, with just a little bit of a push and a nudge, we can, in a matter of years, be on the forefront of innovation in fighting climate change. Let me give you one specific example, and afterwards I can give you a bunch of others. There's some amazing technologies that are coming out of our SUNY system right now with respect to clean energy storage and advanced batteries, so that we can save the sun when the sun's not shining, we can save the wind when the wind's not blowing. We're doing that right here in our SUNY system. All of that technology is coming out of our SUNY system. So how do you take that from a lab on a SUNY campus and get it out onto a factory floor? Well, you need investments. You need federal investments. And there's provisions in the new bipartisan infrastructure law designed specifically for this purpose. And so one of the things you should expect out of your representative is advocacy day in and day out with the relevant departments of jurisdiction for that program to bring that money home as capital investments, so that we can take all of that clean energy storage out of the lab in the SUNY system and put it to work on the ground with real jobs here. There's tons of other examples across the district, and I'm telling you, we should be really excited about it. We should be really, really excited about the potential here.
Thank you, Josh. Jamie, same question.
Check, check, one, two. That was Tune Yards covering the Breeders' Cannonball. 4AD, the label 4AD, has put out a compilation of for their anniversary of bands covering 4AD songs. That was a classic 4AD song from the 90s from the Breeders. And now here's another cover. This is a 2021 cover from Chris Forsythe and the Solar Motel Band doing Neil Young's Barstool Blues.
Oh, Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, August 5th. Early morning temperatures range from 67 degrees over in Bern to 71 in Red Hook. Soil temperature is 72. Heat warnings are out for today. Mugginess isn't going away and dew points will be in the low 70s. Winds will be calm, so no help there. Storm activity rolls through around noon, then gets stronger before dark. A high of 90 happens at 2 p.m. After dark, rain keeps going and we see a humid feeling low of 70 degrees that matches the dew point. That's the sort of thing that boosts air conditioner sales. Saturday, rain chances remain all day and temperatures rise to 90 degrees. A very humid 71 degrees overnight takes us into a hot Sunday with a high of 93 and a stormy looking afternoon. Monday, the pattern of highs in the low 90s with a stormy afternoon continues. Expect heat warnings both days this weekend. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 3:20 a.m., high tide at 8:40 a.m., low tide again at 3:19 p.m., and high tide once again at 9:25 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 81 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:57 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:49 a.m. Looking way up, we see we got a 60% chance of low to medium range flares today. Astronomers are a little blindsided as repairs are being made to the Solar Dynamics Observatory's data lines. Plasma stream interaction is expected early next week due to a mid-latitude coronal hole. Solar wind speed is currently 399 kilometers per second at 5.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair for AM radio, but that's about it until dark. Then, fair below 15 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 52. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
That was composer Gabriella Smith and cellist Gabriel Cabazas with Bard of a Wasteland from their 2021 album Lost Cause with producer Nadia Serrata.
Hi, this is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
Here's some local music from Copaig's PG6, or Pat Gubler, from his 2011 album Starry Mind. This is the first track called January.
Oh,